Good morning.
We've arrived at a Tuesday morning. We're with our political observer, Alan Chartok. Alan, the President of the United States has proposed a record $4.75 trillion budget for the 2020 fiscal year, an increase in military spending, and deep cuts to domestic programs. As the New York Times says this morning, it has little chance of becoming law because Congress controls spending and Democrats control the House.
Just what I was going to say, David, but it is the first offering, and what is so significant about it is that if the President of the United States decides that he wants to stick with it in order to prove himself once more to his base, it could spell disaster for the American people. Once again, planes up in the air with no place to land, federal workers who were told that they're not going to get paid and have to suffer through all of that again for no reason other than the political needs of the president. And so it is not a healthy sign as to what's to come. We do know that this president doesn't really take advice from other people. So even if there are people like Mitch McConnell and others who are saying, hey, I got to protect my people in the Senate, and they get beaten up over the terrible hiatus in the funding of government, then he says, I don't care about them, because he only really, apparently, cares about himself. So it's a political thing. We have it in the state when the governor presents a budget, and we have it in the federal government, and right now it doesn't look healthy for what's going to happen next.
Impeachment and what's going to happen next. Nancy Pelosi, Speaker, says it's not worth it. She's not for it. Impeachment is so divisive to the country that unless there's something so compelling and overwhelming and bipartisan, I don't think we should go down that path because it divides us as a country.
Well, let me just say this to you, David. Pelosi is absolutely right. And the people who are standing behind her, the top people in the House, the people who are doing the investigations are all saying the same thing. Mueller, Mueller, Mueller. You don't have an impeachment because you haven't got the votes in the Senate. So that while some of these guys like this millionaire Steyer and the rest are gaining sort of populist backing for impeachment, they have no idea. Most people think, by the way, David, that impeachment means you remove the guy. It isn't. You bring a political charge against him, it goes to the Senate, and we know where those senators are, and we know what they've been doing up to now. So unless there's a smoking gun, unless something happens which convinces those Republicans that, hey, this is really bad in the case of Nixon. And by the way, I keep hearing about Nixon's impeachment. Nixon was not impeached. He saw the train coming down the track, and he got on that plane, and he quit, and he left. He was not impeached. That's the whole point. It would have gone to the Senate, and the Senate was indicating to Nixon, your time is up, the Republicans as well as the Democrats. So that hasn't happened here. And the idea that you inflame people who don't understand the process somehow just misses the mark.
Brexit. A vote today. I was listening to the BBC this morning and whether to vote for Theresa May's plan or not.
Well, the details are unclear as to what she got the European Union to agree to. Apparently she got something, or that's what's being said. So we'll see whether this is a highly orchestrated effort, which sort of everybody went along with, or whether or not she's just praying to the moon. I don't know. And so far it's been nothing. My bet is that they have two choices. One, you have another vote. And that vote, by the way, is going to result in staying in the European Union. Or you say, okay, we'll go it alone and we'll see what happens. And that could truly be predictive of a terrible, terrible mess for the British and for us too, because we have a very close trading relationship with them. Apparently, if there is a breakthrough, it's going to be over this question of the Irish border. And even that offers a disastrous problem, because if there is going to be a separate basic toll booth there, it's going to create some of the tensions that we saw back in the Troubles. I don't think we're going to go back to that, but on the other hand, it can't help.
How about White House spokeswoman Sarah Sanders yesterday, Alan, as the headline in CNN this morning says, vitriol and deflection, the return of the White House press briefing.
Well, she did it. They yelled at her. They brought up some of his incredible remarks about American Jews and the fact that, you know, Democrats hate Jews, and they put that right to him. And she wouldn't answer. She deflected and deflected and deflected. So what good is it?
Your thoughts on former New York State Assembly Speaker Mel Miller, who has died at the age of 79.
I knew him. I knew him fairly well. He was a good man. He got himself into trouble now and then. But basically, he was a guy who was a decent sort, and some of his friends, some of his backers, people like Norman Adler, was a great lobbyist, and they went into business together afterwards, made some money. You know, it's a sad thing when people die.
Our political observer, Alan Chartok, with us. Thank you, Alan.